Brass and DC, the sideline sports show. Fort Wayne to the world. Bryce got the box score, calm on the mic. Pulling up numbers from last Friday night. Sack gyms packed, rivalries loud. He'll tell you who balled out, who hyped the crowd. DC slide in with the hold up weight. Spicy little rant, that's a hot take plate. Coach talk, Pacers talk, all in the mix. Midwest mind with that ESPN fix. Sideline Sports Show, Bryce in D.C. From the Fort Wayne courts to the big TV. Indiana Hoosiers dreams, go-to-go scenes. Whole Midwest running through the calling stream. Sideline Sports Show, you know that vibe. Stats and smoke in a four-quarter ride. Turn it up loud when the game day starts. So break it all down like they call in charge.
Welcome in to the Sideline Sports Show with Bryce in D.C. We are your hosts, Brett Nance. That's D.C. Hendricks.
What up?
Thank you so much for joining us here on a beautiful Sunday morning, March 1st, 2026, as the show is appropriately titled, March Madness. We had some madness last night in the high school basketball ranks on the girls' side. Even though it didn't happen in March, it is still worthy to talk about. And we will have plenty to talk about in the state finals as we had three teams from the 260 down in Indianapolis yesterday. Only one of them, though, came away with a state title. The other two, one was kind of it was a blowout by score, just kind of got away from them. The other one came down to the very end on a last-second shot to potentially send the game to overtime. We'll get into that and more. We'll have a guest on as well to talk about girls high school basketball in the state finals yesterday. But before we get to all that, DC, how are we doing this morning?
What up, everybody? Feeling good. It's March Madness, a busy month for me. So I'm just enjoying these last few days of chilling because this month is going to be crazy for me professionally. So just enjoying it, man. March Madness is here. The girls high school basketball season is over, getting ready for the boys tournament. For high school basketball here in Indiana, college basketball, March Madness will be here. Man, this is an exciting time. Spring training, World Baseball Classic starts this week. So
I know.
Exciting times, brother. Exciting times. And glad everyone that's joining us here today. We're streaming live on Facebook, X, and our YouTube page. The comment section is open. So join the show, man, and join the discussion. Let's talk a little local, regional, and national sports here on the Sideline Sports Show.
Yeah, I am. You mentioned the World Baseball Classic, and I kept thinking, man, it's getting close. And then you start to read the reports of like who's participating and who's like actually going to go full go in it. And it prompted me to order a USA hat, so that should be coming next week. Yeah, so the team worn hat, it should be coming in the mail. I was hoping I'd be able to wear it today, but it did not come in time. But still repping Old Fort Baseball Co. On the show here.
I'm ready for baseball season too. I got my St. Francis baseball cap on. So
yeah, I know. And you've got some interviews rolling out previewing college baseball in the 260 dugout. So make sure you check out that show as well. That DC host does a great job. Had some good guests on this week, including St. Francis and Snyder's Isaiah Snively. Is that right?
Isaiah Snively.
Snyder's,
he's only a junior. Mm-hmm. And he got named to the Under Armour All-American list.
Yeah,
as a junior, crazy. Which is high honors, man, especially for a junior. He still has a whole nother year of high. He hasn't even played his junior season yet.
Yeah,
it's crazy. But he's committed to the University of Wake Forest already. Mm-hmm. He's going to be a Demon Deacon, which is a top 25 program. Pretty big coming right here from the 260. So did a short interview with him. But yeah, the St. Francis baseball season preview drops tomorrow, so everybody can check it out. So thanks for the plug, brother.
Yeah, no problem. Stay tuned for that. We are part of the Get Indiana Podcast Network. If you are looking for anything as far as the small town breakdown, or if you want to follow Nate Spangle on his adventure for visiting 1,000 Indiana towns this year, make sure you go follow him over there at getindiana.com. You can also find our show weekly on there, the recap of our show and full video version that you can find over there. So make sure you head over to getindiana.com. So we had three girls basketball teams in the state finals yesterday. In Class 1A, we had Fremont taking on Borden. And Borden ended up just absolutely taking over in that game, used their size to their advantage, their experience in that game after being the state champs last year, repeated as state champs this year. And it was just a size advantage for Borden that allowed them to win the state title. Fremont, they struggled, could not handle the size. They were out-rebounded 30-20, and Fremont struggled from beyond the three-point mark as well, only hitting one three, and that three didn't even come until in the fourth quarter. They missed their first 11 attempts. So it was a struggle, but for Fremont, the good thing is for them, they returned four starters off this year's team. So
yeah, it was unfortunate. Loaded next year.
Yeah, unfortunate for them, you know, to lose in the state finals this year. But good news is you get everybody back, so you should have a very good team next year. Doesn't always equal going back to the state finals, but you give yourself a very good chance for going to the state finals again. You should be probably one of the favorites in Class 1A to make a deep run and compete in the NECC and compete against the rest of the, at least, you know, very, very well talented northern half of the state in Class 1A as well. The other team that fell was Norwell. They lost a heartbreaker last night, and it was in the Class 4A game. Them playing against Center Grove, who is, you know, I want to say almost quadruple the size of Norwell. Norwell has about 700 students in high school, as Center Grove has like 3,000. So it's just absolutely crazy after they made the jump to Class 4A this year, and they'll play in Class 4A next year as well. Knights led in the fourth quarter. The Trojans started off 15-0 run to start the fourth quarter, and that kind of put them ahead, and Norwell was just never able to come back all the way. They had a chance to tie it with a three-pointer from Macy Saulfrank, but it just was just short off the rim. So it sucks for Norwell because they had an incredible run, a really talented team that was loaded this year, and it just sucks for them that they fell in that fashion after having such a really dominant run all the way to the state finals.
Yeah, we had Coach Eric Thornton on a couple of weeks ago. Then we had their star player, Vanessa Rosswarm, on the show last week. So this was a team that, you know, that we were very high on going into the state championship. And what a game. What a game. You can't ask for a better game for a state championship. You got these two, you know, top programs in the state going at it. It goes down to the wire. And unfortunately, Macy Saulfrank, she had a good look. Macy had a good look in that last shot. Would have sent it to overtime, essentially, but still had a great look, and it just didn't fall. The comeback was just a little bit too much in the fourth quarter. But nonetheless, man, this Norwell team, you know, and obviously they lose, you know, Rosswarm, so got to replace her for next season. But with Thornton still leading this program, Norwell's still going to be amongst some of the best programs in the state. When you have a coach like Thornton, who I mean, I'd argue one of the best coaches in either boys or girls in the entire state of Indiana. Just one of those coaches that, you know, is just monumental to why basketball is so important in our state and why it means so much. Thornton is the testament to that. So I expect Norwell to bounce back next year. I think they'll be, you know, they'll obviously have struggles early on trying to find, you know, who's going to, you know, Rosswarm is a tough player to replace, you know, amongst one of the best players in the state. So we'll see how that goes. But nonetheless, a very impressive season for Norwell. All the success, you know, and playing a team that is, like you said, has a lot more kids to go out for their team. And that, you know, that obviously creates the argument that people bring up, you know, private schools versus public schools, you know, that whole argument that people bring up because of the difference in school size. That a lot of that happened between Knox and Lures in football. That was when it really, really became an issue. But I expect Norwell to be fine. You know, Center Grove completes the perfect season. So, you know, you hate to see it, but it's not like they lost to a team that isn't also, you know, they're both in the state championship. But in addition to that, Center Grove is unbeaten, and they played a lot of tough teams this season. But still, congrats to Coach Thornton and the Norwell team. Incredible season. I mean, you go to the state finals 3 years in a row. I mean, at this point, this is a dynasty that they're creating over in Norwell.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't know how many. I'm trying to look it up here as you mentioned the public versus private thing. And I think we had, I know we had at least one private school in there, but mostly public, because Roncalli is a private school, but Center Grove, Norwell, Belmont, all public, Eastern, all public. Borden, Fremont. So it was, you know, that the argument really doesn't really hold a lot of weight this time around. You know, at least on the girls' side, we'll have to see where the basketball on the boys' side, if that, you know, does come into play at all. But, you know, we haven't mentioned the one winner from yesterday yet, and that was Belmont, because we had Coach Andy Heim on last week.
We did.
And it was just a testament, and we've even talked to him about it, and it was just the depth of that team showed up. You had four scorers in double digits. Mary Blakey had led the team with a double-double, 12 points and 12 rebounds. And I don't know if you saw this clip, but she got some praise from Sydney Parrish, you know, from former IU stud. She compared her she compared Mary to Mackenzie Holmes, who was also a really good player for IU a couple of years ago. I think they got to talk to one another at the shoot around, I think a couple of days ago. And it was just, Sydney was telling Mary, you need to shoot more, just because she's got a really a good shot. But that game was a very tight game all the way throughout yesterday. The game was tied at 34 at the end of the third quarter. And it went back and forth a little bit in the fourth quarter before Belmont, it was able to finish the job and hit some clutch shots down the stretch, but just an incredible run for a Belmont team and for Andy Heim, who has been building up this program and has finally been able to break through, you know, with Norwell out of the way in class 4A this year. It gave Belmont the you know, path to make it to the state finals. And once they got there, we talked about it last week. Are the lights going to be too bright for this team? And they weren't, because they got off to a hot start and that carried them all the way through to the state title.
Yeah. Coach Heim even told us, you know, something that he believed, you know, one thing that he believed would, you know, be in their favor going into this game was their team depth. And I think you just mentioned it, you know, four scorers reaching double digits in this game to help them lead, to help lead them to a state championship. That's what Coach was just telling us. He believed that that would give them a chance to win this game. So Coach was spot on. You know, Belmont pulls it out, our one team, which, man, look, I'm just being completely honest. If you would have told me that we would have one team win the state championship beforehand, and you didn't tell me who, I would assume Norwell.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Instead, it's Belmont.
Mm-hmm.
You got to give a shout out to Coach Heim and what he's done with this program, man. You know, going from, I mean, we're talking about a program that I think 12 years ago, in 12 year span, they've gone from no wins to a state championship in just 12 years. I mean, completely opposite sides of the spectrum, a complete turnaround. So definitely love what this program got going with Coach Heim.
Yeah, for sure. And I know we mentioned last week when we interviewed him that he's had 10 straight seasons with 17 or more wins. So they've been consistent. They just haven't been able to break through it and make a deep run to that state finals, just because they would run up against a Norwell or maybe even like a Mississinewa type or somebody in that sectional that would just, you know, beat them every single year. Or if they would win a sectional title, they would fall in the first round of the regional. They just haven't been able to make that, you know, deep run. And they've had some really talented players over the years, but they just weren't able to make a deep run. But this team has a lot of depth and they bring back a lot of talent as well. I think they only have one senior that ended up getting the Mental Attitude Award. But so they should be even locked more loaded for next season as well. So these teams that, you know, are in the state finals from the 260 are, you know, have a really good shot to make another run next year. All of them, including Fremont, Norwell, and Belmont, just because they are so loaded, or they just have had the program consistency over the last few years that allows them to make these deep runs. So, you know, great job by all these girls teams. And, you know, let's bring on a guest to talk more about it, and somebody who is very familiar. If you have listened to our show or listened to it back when it was on the old radio days, because we would bring him on quite a bit to talk about high school basketball, and he still knows quite a bit about high school basketball. And that is my cousin, a high school basketball analyst, we'll call him, Dan Vance, joining the show. Dan, thank you so much for joining us here on the show. We're excited to have you back on.
Yeah, man, it's been too long. I'm glad to be back with you guys.
Yeah, we're glad to have you on. Which game from yesterday do you want to talk about? We had three of them. You know, which one kind of stands out to you the most?
Well, I mean, I think the one that stands out the most is going to be Belmont because they captured that state title. A really fun game and great for – I know you guys were just talking about Coach Andy Heim and what he did for that program. And, you know, I got a chance to cover them basically through his entire time, you know, with the new Sentinel and then outside the huddle until a couple of years ago. He's just a great guy and has built a great program. And, you know, you mentioned it, 0-21 in his second year with them. And for him to be able to build them up to a state championship program, you know, he got some help early on by having Grace Hunter, who was just a fantastic player, a Division I talent. But that was just kind of the spark. Grace was the spark. And he had to build from there and keep girls engaged and wanting to be part of that program. And just a tremendous job. For him in the long term. And I think the state title is just icing on the cake for that.
Yeah, so I want to switch gears a little bit. The team that I want to ask you about, because I would imagine you know a little bit more about this program than I do. I want to talk about Fremont. Like, I'm going to be completely transparent, not even on my radar like 3 weeks ago. To look at, if you're talking state championship run, Fremont was not on my radar. And completely shocked not only myself but the entire area with this deep run. You know, they didn't win the state championship, but we're talking about a program that's going to be right back at it next year. What can you tell us from your perspective about the Fremont program?
Yeah, a really great program. I got a chance to see them in person, you know, when they played up at Garrett, where I coach now, during the NECC tournament. They played in our gym. Grace Sharlock is one of the toughest guards that I've seen in the last decade in the area. A little bit undersized, but she's so tenacious in how she plays the game. And obviously, I think that with Fremont, it's a situation where you have such a small, tight-knit community. Their coach came from that program. She was a stellar player in that program. And so I think that there's just, you know, such a pride in what they do. Grace is such a great player. Maya Turner is another underrated girl in that junior class. They've built up, but like you said, DC, kind of a surprise, I think, in a state finals type situation, as good as they were sharing the NECC title. I think they're a year early than I think that we thought that maybe Sharlock and Turner could get them there next year. But to get there this year, get that experience, and I think that it will show if they're able to get back next year what that experience means, because that's what Borden had. Borden was the defending state champions. Their length helped them, but I think Borden's experience was a big help in that title game yesterday too.
Yeah, and you've seen and covered, you know, multiple teams that have, you know, maybe been a year too early with a loaded, you know, junior class. And the one example that, you know, always comes to mind is, you know, the Central Noble girls that won it, you know, and then they had that huge junior class and then they brought everybody back essentially for another run. They didn't make it as far. I believe they still made it to semi-state. But, you know, just how important is this run going to be for a team like Fremont going into next year? And should they be viewed as, you know, a favorite, obviously a favorite to compete in the NECC, but a favorite, you know, amongst teams to make it back down to Indianapolis?
I think they're definitely a favorite. The run is huge. I think the run makes it's going to make everything better for them next year than even playing in Gainbridge. The bright lights is a big experience, the big court, but the run to get there, the win over Marquette Catholic, you know, upsetting the number one team in the state in the Class 1A, I think is more important. They were able to keep together those tough games. Getting through a semi-state Saturday, I think, is just as big for experience as playing in the state finals. So I think it's a massive opportunity for them to grow off of. And I think that Coach Shea Thomas is definitely going to preach that going forward. She's the type of coach that will talk about how the experience builds them more than the result.
So let's talk Norwell. So we had Vanessa Rossworm on the show last week. Was very, you know, optimistic going into the state championship. And we're talking about a player, and I want to kind of bring you in on this discussion as well, because we see it all over the timeline on X. Everybody's talking about Miss Indiana basketball and why her name isn't being discussed. So I asked her straight up last week, look, I know you see it. So what's your perspective on it, you know? And she, you know, she obviously replied very humble and was just like, that's not what I play for. You know, that stuff, it's cool to be even recognized with those, you know, that talented group of girls, but that's not what she plays for. So we can say it. So I'm gonna ask you, Dan, Miss Indiana basketball, do we need to be having those discussions with Rossworm?
We should be having those discussions with Vanessa Rossworm. And I think that she should have always been on the cusp of those conversations coming out of last year. But the year she's put together, the run for Norwell, eliminating Homestead, getting to the state finals for a third straight year, it should definitely enhance it. I know there were a lot of conversations going into yesterday, her versus Grayson Gilliard, and that kind of competition. Obviously, Gilliard, I think, should be in the conversation too. Subjectively, no dog in the fight, not covering any team officially anymore. I think Vanessa Rossbaum outplayed her in that game yesterday, and I think that she should be at the forefront of that conversation, and probably not the only girl in our area. I think that Jocelyn Bricker from Warsaw should be in that conversation too.
Mm-hmm. With Coach Eric Thornton, and he's been at it for a while, he's got win number 500. I'm not going to speak on his behalf, but you know, how much longer do you think he has? Because he's built up this program that has just been very consistent over his time, and obviously getting to 500 wins, three straight runs to the state final. You know, how much longer do you think he coaches down there at Norwell?
That's an interesting question. I don't know. I think that Coach Thornton has some years still left in him. I think that he wants to continue to see the fruits of this program. Their JV team lost one game. Their freshman team didn't lose any games. And so even though they're going to graduate quite a bit, they're going to reload again. And so I'd love to see Coach stay for a long time. I think that what he's done with that program, I think that we could be seeing a little sample of that with Coach Heim, who's obviously been at Belmont less, but has built that program up, and the rivalry they have, you know, a friendly rivalry with them as coaches. I think that Eric Thornton's laying the blueprint on how to build a program up the right way and how to make it a champion. I think we see Eric Thornton. Mm-hmm. I'm going to conservatively give him 5 more years, but I'd like to see him for another 10.
Yeah.
So out of these teams that reached the state championship last year, I'm not we can't bet on high school sports. So this is just hypothetical. But if we could put a little something on it, Dan, and you have to today, you have to right now, put you on the spot. Mm-hmm. You got one team that you can pick to reach the state final and win next season. Who do you pick?
I pick Norwell.
Really?
And then they lose the most, but man, what they do there is, and Bryce, you've covered Norwell teams and games over the years. Like, everybody knows what Norwell is going to do for the most part. Their zone defenses, their weave, dribble, drive offense. It doesn't change a lot, but it's so refined. It's so hard to beat. And what they do, Coach Thornton and his whole staff, let's give them all credit for what they do, building the younger girls up, their youth program. They don't miss a beat. You know, they went to the state finals 2 years ago, lost, missed a shot at the buzzer, similar to this year, and graduated the best player in program history. And then they just turned around and found a new best player in program history and went right back there 2 more years. I think that Norwell's built for the longevity. They've shown this year that they can battle in 4A, not just with the postseason run, but what they did during the regular season as well. I like Belmont, obviously, in 3A with how much they bring back, but that Norwell program is, it has to be considered one of the best programs in the state at this point.
Oh yeah, I mean, like you said, remember covering and covered games at the Castle, and it's an incredible environment, first of all, to cover a game, just because just of how many people show up, even for a girls' game, because you know, even a handful of years ago when you're covering girls' basketball, you know, you go out to a gym and it might not be so full for a girls' basketball game, but that place is packed. It's those fans are engaged, even on the girls' side, and you know it equals the boys' side. So definitely, that program has been very consistent. Like you said, a team to look at and how to build a system. And I didn't even know that that they were undefeated at the freshman level and only one loss to JV. So that just speaks to the consistency and how well this program is built by Eric Thornton. I want to read you a stat from John Harrell this morning and what you surmise out of it. The average margin in this year's girls tournament was 20 points, the largest in the tournament's 51-year history. The losing team scoring average was 33 points, the lowest ever. 69 blowouts of 35 points or more, as 12 teams were held to single digits. The total amount of points in a game was the lowest since 1976, the first year of the tournament. What do you make out of that? It just feels like there's low scoring, but there's also a lot of blowouts. What do you make of that?
Oh, I think two things. I think that in girls basketball right now, we don't have the parity maybe that we have in the boys' side. but the high end play is really, really good. And so it's not just that you know, the parity's not there, but the teams like the Norwell, the Center Grove, but even when we look at this area, Norwell, Belmont, Fremont, Eastside, Snyder, Homestead, Warsaw, those types of teams are playing such good basketball. And I personally think that the level of defensive identity on the girls' side has risen so much. You know, when as far as in our area, when girls' basketball was really starting to reach kind of a peak time, and I look back to like when Homestead with Chris McLaughlin won the state title, was kind of when Northeast Indiana was starting to ascend. It was offensive oriented a lot, and not to say those teams couldn't play defense, but now, especially you look at a Norwell team that, you know, gets 15 to 20 steals a game and things like that, the defensive identity and defensive ability of these girls has risen so much. So, you know, when the high end before could score in the 60s, everybody else could still score in the 50s. Now the defensive identity of those teams who are scoring a lot is so much better. I think that's why we see the gap more than anything. Mm-hmm.
So in addition to these teams that we're talking about today, you know, you talked about the parity. So let's talk about some teams that didn't necessarily advance, you know, mm-hmm. super far in the tournament because they had to run into a Norwell or a Fremont or a Belmont. So out of these teams, you know, out of the other teams in the area, who's a team that we should watch out for next year that isn't being talked about? Let's take an early look at next season. Who's on Dan's list to look watch for on the girls' side in the area?
Well, I think a team that returns a lot that we need to watch is obviously Snyder. Janae Cooper has been fantastic for them. Missed some time this year, injured, but when she came back, no. So,
ooh, okay.
When she comes back, I think Snyder has a chance to make a real big push. But then there's just programs that they graduate a lot, but we know they're going to be good. And you look at a Homestead, you look at a Warsaw. I think that Eastside has quite a bit back. I think that Eastside is going to be good. And I look at what Justin Jordan's doing at Whitco. Had them ranked number one in the state when they got knocked out this year. It was kind of a surprise. I think that Whitco loses a little bit, but has a lot back. And he's a guy, another guy who's – we talk about building programs that were basically from the foundation. I think Whitco – you know, those teams, all that I named, I think we watch. I think that Whitco has a chance to make another run in 2A next year.
What's it going to take for the boys' side to have this much, you know, talent? Because I saw a tweet from the Outside the Huddle account that we've had three, you know, girls' teams make it to the state finals. That's the same amount that the boys have had on the boys' side in the last 3 years. You know, we haven't had a team, you know, or a consistent number of teams or multiple teams even make it to semi-state, you know, what's it going to take or what's the issue on the boys' side that, you know, we can't have, you know, consistency going down to Indianapolis?
Well, I think that the struggle on the boys' side is the parity. I think that we still have really good basketball, but it's there aren't players or teams that have really been able to elevate themselves to the next level. But the skill's still there. The talent's still there. I just think that the parity in the area is pretty even keel. So I think as we see more of these teams venture out to play tougher schools, you know, I think that's a conversation even during high school football, DC, that you've had, is you got to play these bigger schools to get the experience when you're playing in Northeast Indiana and the parity's there and teams are on an even playing field. You don't get some of the higher end experience that you need versus going down and playing in Indianapolis. Going up and playing in, you know, the region a little bit, some of those teams. So I think that will help a lot too. But, you know, same with like individual teams. You look at a lot of the parities, the same teams are good. Some of the top boys teams in the area are really good, but, you know, one, two, and three are just as good as each other versus, you know, when Fletcher Lawyer was better than almost everybody on his team, except when Luke Goody was there. Luke Goody was better than everybody on his team. Caleb First was better than everybody on his team. Connor Asesian was better. And so we haven't had superstar players. We have some real high-end players. Obviously, Mac Welker immediately comes to mind in that. But we had a real strong run of really, really good players, and that's when we saw boys teams making it to the state finals and winning the state finals. Again, no knock on anybody because we got some high-level talent. Mac Welker, Austin Schlebach at Westview, Caden Grau at Westview, all really good top-level players. But we don't have guys like we had for a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I had a fun question to kind of end things because I imagine we're going to talk some college hoops today, Bryce. Who's the best team in college basketball, Dan? And tell me why it's not Duke.
The best team in college basketball is Duke. And there is no other answer. I really like what Michigan's doing. I think they're a really fun team to watch. I loved the Duke-Michigan game. You know, I love UConn. I love how they play. Obviously, they're not at the tippy top right now. Arizona's look good, but I'm sorry, DC. It's Duke, and until somebody proves otherwise, it's Duke.
Yeah, DC, you knew that was coming. I mean, Dan is a Duke guy, for those that don't know. I mean, he was going to go Duke no matter what.
just to remind Dan, there's one undefeated team in college basketball. So, better than Duke.
They're not better than Duke. Better than Duke.
Unbeaten. No. Unscathed.
Maybe we'll see. Maybe we'll get a chance to see. But and kudos to Miami. I mean, a stellar year going undefeated is not easy.
They're trying to talk them out of the tournament. Like, there's literally people trying to say that they don't deserve a spot in the tournament.
I don't care if they don't win the conference tournament. They should be in the tournament. They should be, you know, at the very worst, a 5 seed if they don't win the conference tournament. I mean, going undefeated in the regular season is hard. I don't care what conference you're in. I don't care the level of opponent. It's a stellar thing that Miami has been able to do. But they're not better than Duke.
I agree with that. They're not better than Duke. They've had a really good year. And DC, stop listening to Bruce Pearl. All right, he's a moron who let his son take over his program, and that program is not very good. They're around 500 right now. Dan, you're always welcome here on the show, and thank you so much for joining us once again on the Sideline Sports Show. And you know, good luck to your basketball team as the postseason starts next week. And we'll hope to have you on the show once again sometime soon.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Love being on, guys.
All right, see you, Dan.
That is Dan Vance, local high school basketball analyst, I will say. Aficionado. And he always has a great historical perspective, you know, bringing up some of those teams that have had some really good seasons around here.
He's old?
No, he's not. He's not old, even though I have made jokes at him from time to time that he is old, and he is older than me. But he is. And we didn't even mention it. He is my cousin. So, if you didn't catch on by the last name, or that we knew a lot about him, so
you look alike.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, the beard and glasses. Me and you have beards and glasses, but we don't look alike, obviously.
I mean, yeah, there's something that very distinguishly is the reason why we don't, you know.
Okay.
But, yeah, Duke is not the best team in college basketball.
All right. Okay.
I said it was Michigan, and then Duke beat Michigan immediately after I said that. So.
Well, and also Michigan lost LJ Kaysen for the season. I don't know if you saw that this morning.
I did see that this morning.
He's not one of their top guys, but you know, one of their solid backups that they go to, and is really good off the bench. So they just lose a little bit of depth, but it could bite them. You know, maybe in the second weekend of the tournament or something like that. But
dude, I'm pumped! I am pumped! I am pumped for the big. I'm ready for the Big Ten tournament. Are you? You don't look very. I mean, a couple weeks ago, you know, you Hoosiers fans were all over social media talking about how excited you were. This is, you know, the season's changing around. Why are you quiet now? What happened?
I'm not necessarily quiet. It's just my tone has changed. When you lose to Northwestern at home, that'll do it to you. That'll do it to you. That was just an awful game, an awful second half, and it's got me already looking forward to next season. I know there's 3 games left in the regular season, including a game against Michigan State.
You already checked out from
this season? I'll watch the game today, but I don't have high hopes.
Michigan State's gonna be rough. Watch you beat Michigan State now.
I mean, it'd be great. I'd be back in. I'm just kind of on my way out. You know, the door. I see the door. It's open. Can I just walk on to next season? That'd be great.
You're ready for baseball season, huh? You're ready to switch. Ready to turn the switch.
I kind of am. And you know, I didn't have a whole lot of high expectations for this team coming in to the season because It's a team of misfits. This team is completely new compared to last year. You know, you see the first five games of the season, you're thinking, I don't know if this team's going to make the NCAA tournament, but man, are they going to be fun to watch. And in games like Northwestern, games like against Purdue. Illinois, Purdue, they're not fun. They're not fun to watch, obviously.
And the Northwestern game, they shot themselves out of the game, brother. They shot 28 threes.
Yeah, that's what happens when this team lives and dies by the three. And they
threes. They shot 28 threes and only made 10 of them.
And most of eight of those were in the first half.
In the first half. It's terrible.
And this team, that just makes this team so frustrating, is the swings are so dramatic that it just makes this team so frustrating to watch on a game-to-game basis, that they could come out on fire against Michigan State today and beat them because they're having a good day from beyond the three, that you're just like, why wasn't this team showing up last Thursday or last Tuesday? Right. What in the world? It's just the inconsistent swings of this team make it so frustrating to watch. And it just has me thinking, okay, this team still has a chance. According to some bracketology, they're still in the tournament as like one of the last four in. And okay, they'll get in as an 11 seed and get beat. Like, great. You made the tournament, but I'm looking for more, obviously.
Yeah.
Because this team,
Hoosiers fans are still holding on to undefeated season.
I wasn't even around for that. Why? That has no bearing on me. Like
that's my point. That's 100% my point. Y'all Hoosiers fans still hanging on that. This has not been that top program for a long time, and you guys hold these, you know, trying to find the right word so I'm not disrespectful. Just unrealistic expectations. Like
I told you, I don't
bust, and it's like
I didn't have those expectations for this season. I knew that they were going to be a team that was going to take some time to get together. But when they come firing out of the gates and shooting the ball really well, and then you just have guys like Tucker DeVries, he's a mid-major player trying to play on the Big Ten level, and he's not a Big Ten player. Nick Dorn, maybe. Nick Dorn, I mean, the best player on the team is Lamar Wilkerson, and he might go pro. More than likely, he's probably going to play overseas, which, you know, he'll have a great career over there.
I can see him in the G League.
Yeah, he can shoot. He can shoot, and he can drive. There's no other creators on this team.
No.
That's like what they're missing. And obviously size inside, their tallest player is 6'9", and their two post players are inconsistent with, you know, Reed Bailey, who shows up one game and is non-existent in the next. And Sam Alexis has been better in the second half of the season, but still he has his downfalls as well. It's just, you need, This roster is going to have to change going into next year, and I think it will. They have three recruits that are coming in that I think will impact the team next year. We'll see if Trent Sicily is back. He's been a no-show the last 15 games. He hasn't really done anything since the UCLA game.
Didn't even score against Northwestern.
He's barely even played.
Yeah.
And he did well against non-Big Ten competition. Yeah. But once you get in that Big Ten, you got to show up, or you're going to be riding the bench. And
the biggest thing that concerns me about IU is the guard play. Like, if you don't have guards to lead your program, you're going to struggle in college basketball. It has always been that way. You know, even going back, you know, like the teams that had, you know, the big man, so to speak, you know, like trying to go back, Joakim Noah and them. They had obviously the two, you know, him and Horford, but they also had good guards to go along with that. Torian Green was a solid college point guard. You go back North Carolina when they had, you know, Sean May, Tyler Hansbrough, you had Raymond Felton. You know, you have guards. Mecca Okafor, Kimball Walker. You got guards to go along with these guys to help lead the program. And IU just doesn't have, I'm not impressed by guards. I'm not really impressed.
You know what this team needs? They need like a Jalen Hood Schifino who they had a couple years ago.
That guy
could create his own shot.
Need a creator.
When he could get into the lane, get to the elbow, and that was his shot. That was his spot. And you know that more often than not, he's going to hit that shot. He wasn't a real threat from outside, but that's where you would rely on a Lamar Wilkerson. You can drive inside, kick out. Whereas you got to have a guy like Connor Enright, who's slow. He's a hard-nosed defender, but he can't get in there.
More
and
like
create.
A shooting guard and small forward. Like you need a point guard.
Yeah. You need a point guard who can have the threat of scoring.
Yeah.
And Enright is not a score-first point guard.
Played 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Against Northwestern.
Yeah. I mean, he's out there for defense. That's what he is. And facilitating the ball. You just need another element. And even Tayton Conaway, who's coming off the bench, I think he should be starting over Nick Dorn, to be honest.
You know what's frustrating, though? Like, being a Hoosier, living in the state of Indiana, you ever notice that it feels like we have the same discussion with all of our teams? Yeah. Like, the Colts, by week 8, were looking like a Super Bowl team. And then by week 10, 2 weeks later, looked like one of the worst teams in football.
Yeah.
Pacers. Great run in the finals last year. I mean, I know they don't have Halliburton, but like, look, Halliburton ain't that dang good. And now they're like, I'm going to say like, they are the worst team in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Without one player. Like, you can't – it feels like we have the same discussion. And it's like you go on a good run and, you have the fan base excited about what's to come. And then you go on runs like what IU's doing right now. And it's like it's so inconsistent. What's up with the inconsistency? That seems to be the topic for all of our teams here in the state, which is a good thing that I am, in my personal life, I'm not an actual fan of anyone other than Purdue. So I feel our frustration there in our state, man. It's like we have the same discussion with all of our teams. Mm-hmm. It's inconsistency across the board, right? Like, am I tripping?
No, I don't think you're tripping. I think we've had some really good teams. I mean, the only one that really feels consistent is Purdue basketball. And I would say Notre Dame football has been consistent for, I mean, at least since 2016, mm-hmm. This team has won more often than not 10 or more games. They had a couple years in the first year of Marcus Freeman where they won 8 and I think 9 games. But still, 8 or more games for a decade, and you have a couple of three playoff appearances in there, including one appearance in the national championship, and it feels like...
But even them, like, after the first two games, like, you're already...
They were still one of the best... You're still a top 13, I guess, team. Mm. You're still a top 15 team. You're still... In the conversation,
I'm just saying, like, the example, like, they definitely turned the season around last year, but still, even those first two games that they dropped last year, I think to Miami and Texas A&M, right?
You lost by a total of 4 points.
Yeah, but like, I don't feel like, I feel like they, they're right there. I mean, they're obviously better than the rest of the state. So, in comparison, I guess they're better.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I'm not saying they're the model of consistency, but I think they're one of other. It's them and Purdue basketball
compared to the rest of the state. Yeah,
and obviously we're forgetting small IU football.
IU football.
You're gonna say two seasons equals consistency over the last 10 years?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't even know why you're trying to throw that in there. You're a Purdue guy. I mean, if you want to go for the model of consistency of losing, that's Purdue football right there.
All right, let's chill. Let's chill.
If you're gonna get shots, then I'm gonna send them right back. I'm gonna send them right back.
You got that one. All right. You got that one out.
So Purdue plays at Ohio State today, and they lost to Michigan State earlier in the week. And it was a good game. against Michigan State. Came down to the very end, and they had a shot at the end. It wasn't really a good shot by Braden Smith, but I don't know. It was just unfortunate that someone had to lose that game, and because it was a good game of two teams that I think will at least make it to the second weekend in the NCAA tournament. I think the Big Ten is going to have a good showing in the NCAA tournament when we get there, and it was a good game. I'm excited to see what Purdue can do because they've been playing better lately.
Yeah.
Yes, they lost to Michigan State, but they looked better.
That was a good game. They should have won that game. They played better basketball.
Yeah. I think that once you get, you know, guys in a flow, and I think it's matchup dependent as well, because I think they match up well against a team like Michigan State. Whereas a team, I don't think very many teams match up well against a team like Illinois, who's just got length everywhere and is tough to beat. And a team like Michigan also has length and size just at every position, whereas Purdue has, you know, size inside, but their guards are, you know, on the thinner side, especially Lawyer. You know, Braden Smith, obviously, he's filled out over the handful of years, but it feels like when you run up against a team that has size and length at every single position, it just makes the offense tough. And when things aren't going well for Purdue, if they're not getting anything out of Lawyer, you just don't have that threat on the outside. And you can't just have it all on Braden Smith, even though we've argued here on the show that he needs to be more of a creator. He needs to take the ball in his hands and look for scoring opportunities more.
He's soft, bro. And star, step up.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of, they've been able to get going with more consistency and rhythm on offense, that I think they could make some noise in the NCAA tournament. And I think they'll probably win are on the line for the triple bye in the Big Ten tournament. Right now, I think they're going to get a double bye. They need some other teams ahead of them to lose a game or two, but they should still be in around that quarterfinal or semifinal round for the Big Ten tournament, depending on who they match up. So I think we have a team in Indiana with the Purdue Boilermakers that should have a deep run in them because they've been playing better lately, and hopefully that continues going forward.
Oh, man, poor Bryce. Just giving up on those Hoosiers, huh?
Almost.
I am not I'm not as high on Purdue as you are, which probably just means I'm too close. I just look at this Big Ten, and I look at teams like Michigan State. I look at Michigan, Wisconsin even. It's just not – I don't see how Purdue matches up against them. I just see blowouts.
They got to shoot well for them to be in these games. And it all depends on matchups once you get to the NCAA tournament well.
I didn't even mention Nebraska. Like, they barely beat Nebraska.
They should have won that game by 20 points. They nearly lost that game. It was a furious rally by Nebraska to make that game go into overtime. And
I feel like I'm missing someone else, too. Did I say Illinois?
Yeah, you mentioned Illinois.
Did I? Yeah. There's a lot of teams that I don't know. I don't know how much I trust Purdue against those teams right now. I mean, like I said, Illinois, Michigan State, Michigan, Nebraska. That's already four.
You said Michigan State?
Yeah. That's like, bro, there's too many teams. Like, I don't know. I really hope so because, you know, on paper, Purdue is amongst the most talented team and should be. But it's something about that leadership that's still that big question mark. They still need a guy to step up in moments. Like, if a guy steps up and becomes a star in that game most recently against Michigan State, they win that game. They play better basketball. But someone needs to step up in those clutch moments and win you the game. And they just don't have that player. And so I just don't see – I don't see much success in the Big Ten tournament. So I hope you're right. I hope you're right, brother.
Yeah, I don't think they'll win it, but I think they could make the semifinal, and I think they could make the Sweet 16, at least in the NCAA tournament. Probably not much farther than that, but if you have a good shooting day, then maybe you're making the Elite Eight. But they've played better of late, which gives me hope for them. if they go into, you know, a shooting slump, or if there's a matchup that shuts them down inside, it could be a rough day. It could be a rough day for this team. They've had some defensive lapses as well against some of the better teams. They've just looked awful on defense at times as well.
Something I've been wanting to ask you for a while. I've been trying to figure out, and I've been having these discussions with my buddy of mine, who he's diehard IU fan. Like, he's that type of person. You walk in his house and there's just IU stuff everywhere. They didn't even go there, but it's just that big of a fan where it's just IU stuff everywhere in the garage, in the living room. There's just, he's diehard. And we were having this discussion the other day. What does the basketball, so obviously, like, the success of the football program has to waken up the rest of the program, right? Like the rest of that, you know, all the other athletic programs within that organization. Baseball is usually good. IU baseball is usually pretty good. Girls basketball on IU side is usually pretty good now as well. But
they're bad this year, to be honest.
They're having a bad season this year. Yeah, they've been good though.
They have been. This year,
they're allowed one. But this men's IU team, man, what needs to happen, Bryce? Like, what do you do? Like, they keep, you know, and we've been alive to watch all these head coaching changes, and we've watched some ups, we watched some downs, a lot more downs than ups in our timeline, in our lifetime. What needs to happen for them to, because, like, you know, when I was early teens, you know, they were good. Early 2000s, IU was solid.
Yeah.
Late 90s, solid. And then it's just like, they were good with Tom Crean.
Yep. That was the last time they're consistently good.
I just don't know. Is it repairable? Like, what do you – I mean, I know there's a checklist of, like, things that need to be done in order for this to happen. But, like, with the success of the football program, it is possible.
Yeah.
If anything – should be taken out of what Cignetti has done with the IU football program, it shows that anything is possible, to quote my guy Kevin Garnett. Anything is possible.
Yeah.
So, like, what does this IU basketball program need to do to turn it around as well? And I'm not talking they need to win a national championship right now or within the next 2 or 3 years. Just want them to be at least a Big Ten favorite, you know? Like, at least a favorite to win the Big Ten again. Like, it feels like it's been a decade since they've even been to that level. So, like, if you, Bryce, if you get this checklist, which you are very capable of this job, that, you know, if they said tomorrow, Bryce Vance, you are the new athletic director.
New
athletic director. Or even assistant. Either one. You get some say-so. You got some say-so. You got some pull.
Okay.
What's on your checklist to fix this IU basketball program?
Number one, hire Brad Stevens. Josh,
let me change. Right, look, I already know.
No, I'm joking. I would not hire Brad Stevens. I don't even think he wants to coach anymore. I think he's happy.
Multiple. If he wanted to coach college basketball again, he would have been back.
Yeah, it's not.
So many opportunities he could have taken. He loves the NBA. He loves that NBA money.
Yeah. Yep. So I'm fine with Coach DeVries at the moment. I'm not just gonna say he's a one and done kind of guy. I'm gonna give him a chance to work this thing out, get some more of his kind of guys. And I mean, I think he wasn't handcuffed last year, but after you have a mass exodus of everybody just leaves, it's hard to bring together a roster that is going to be talented and cohesive. So I think you spend money in NIL in the transfer portal, and you bring in some guys because you need a big dominant post player. You need a good wing perimeter player like a Lamar Wilkerson, you know, maybe somebody who's a little taller. He's, you know, a little undersized. You bring in a point guard who has the capability of scoring and creating, and then you just fill the rest of the team with talented complementary players. I think you need at least a handful of guys. You can't just do it with one. You can't do it with even one and a half to two players. you need guys that are power forward players, not bringing in a bunch of mid-major guys, and hopefully they can play at the Big Ten level. You need Big right. Ten players. You need Big Ten talent, because as we've seen, this team is not playing at the level where they're consistent against the top teams of the Big Ten. They're not even close to competing with the likes of Purdue, Michigan, Michigan State, Illinois. I mean, they're a mid-level Big Ten team right now. So you need to spend, and they spent against with Mike Woodson. I can't remember the player's name who they got from Arizona a handful of years ago. He was really good. I'm trying to look him up on the fly here. But
I don't remember his name. I remember who you're talking about. I just don't remember his name.
Yeah, they had guys like Mackenzie Mbako, who I liked. He didn't turn out great. But I'm trying to now this is bad radio here.
Balo?
Yeah, Balo. Yes, he was a big man who could come. Yeah, so you need somebody like that who can be a force.
Yeah.
In the paint and rebound, and you need size. This team doesn't rebound all that well consistently. You need a guy like a Trace Jackson Davis and a Jalen Hood Schifino, both guys who are in the pros now and playing either in the NBA or G League or something like that. You need guys that create and score and are also good enough on the defensive end. You need guys that take your talent level up a notch, because right now they're not very good and consistently at that level. And I think them hiring a GM of type, they just hired Ryan Carr from the Pacers this past week, who's going to come in and be their GM. I'm not saying that's going to be a help right away, but I think Darren DeVries thinks that he needs, you know, someone on his staff that can help him either facilitate, whether it's NIL deals or find somebody and be out there scouting opposing rosters and trying to find those Big Ten guys, because they don't have it right now. And they have some really good recruiters on staff that are, I think, going to bring in some talent. But I'm going to give them a couple, you know, at least another season or two to work this thing out, because the talent level on this team is just not there right now. It's the level has brought them to being a mid-level Big Ten team. Now it's up to DeVries and restocking this roster, because it's going to be a whole new roster next year as well. You have some freshmen coming in. Does Trent Sisley come back? Does Nick Dorn come back? Does he come back and improve and be a more consistent shooter? Because he was coming off an injury this year, so it kind of took him a while to get going. But then he's been inconsistent in the last 10 games. He's had really good games, and he's had some games where he puts up 0 points. That's, you know, talk about inconsistency. This is what this team has been. And there's not a lot of depth. This team does not go past 8 guys very often. So you need a lot more depth, a depth that can play at the Big Ten level, so that when your stars do need a break, there's not that much drop off, because the starters have been playing a lot of minutes. And I think that's also contributing to why this team is kind of, you know, slowly falling apart here down the stretch, is because their main guys have logged a lot of minutes in the Big Ten specifically. And that could put a wear and tear on you as you go through the Big Ten season and down the stretch. So I know there's a lot of rambling, but it's a lot to make this team back to where it was. And
to summarize, everybody watching, it sounds like IU needs a miracle.
They don't need a miracle.
They need the genie from Aladdin. They need the genie to just pop up and say, "Look, you get 3 wishes."
No. Okay. What they need to do is what they were doing under Mike Woodson as far as talent acquisition. Gotcha. And I liked the talent that Mike Woodson was playing. I hated the style of basketball he was playing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you bring in guys, because Darren,
so what if Mike Woodson is just a recruiter, and then DeVries is the coach?
I don't necessarily because Mike Woodson tried to bring in shooters, but didn't bring in the right shooters. Like CJ Gunn, no. Yeah, Xavier Johnson, no. Even like I said, Jalen Huccifino, not a 3-point specialist, but could create. You just need a guy who can create, a guy who can shoot threes, a pros presence inside, and that's a good starting point for me. That to make this team better, right up from the jump, because I thought Woodson brought in talent, just talent that couldn't shoot. That's been the problem since going back to Archie Miller. This team just couldn't shoot. This team is better at shooting. They're just Archie. Inconsistent. Yeah, I try to go every show without at least mentioning his name.
Archie. So yeah, I like that checklist. IU needs a miracle. That's going to be the headline. Whether you said it or not, that's what I took out of that. So before we go, you did mention something I wanted to highlight real quick before we left the show. You mentioned earlier we were talking about consistency in the state of Indiana. One team that you said has been consistent is Notre Dame football. Yeah. And I got to say, I was a lot more impressed with his performance at the combine than he was apparently, but Jeremiah Love, I thought, looked really good at the combine. I really don't follow the combine as closely as I used to, but I do try to follow like local players or even like, Big Ten players. I like to see, you know, how they're doing. I'm a big Big Ten. I'm a giant Big Ten guy. I don't want to say big twice in a row. But Jeremiah Loved, I thought, looked pretty good from Notre Dame. He didn't hurt his stock at all. And I don't know, even if he comes out and runs a 4-flat 40-yard dash, I don't think his draft stock is going to get much higher than it already is, right? I mean, what'd you think of Jeremiah Love's performance?
I thought he looked good. I thought he looked good in the underwear Olympics, as a lot of people like to call him, just because the guys are just out there doing drills. And he looked good. He ran a 4.36.
Is that the 40. Official new name of the combine?
No, it's been called that for a long time. But I thought he looked good in drills. Yeah, I think, like you said, I don't think he hurt his draft stock. I think he might have only improved it because he's been projected by a lot of people in the top 10. Everybody has him and their brother, him going to the Chiefs. And does somebody, try to move up and steal him?
My love goes maybe to the Chiefs, bro.
They still don't have like consistent wide receiver play. It would be great to have him as a running back, but I just don't know if their system is going to utilize him.
Someone new. I'm tired of the Chiefs, bro.
Hey, they weren't good this year. At least you had that.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
If I heard Taylor Swift one more time. All right.
But you mentioned local guys or local college guys. D'Angelo Pons had a really good day as well.
Yeah.
At the combine. His vertical jump was 43.5 inches, which
wow.
is 10th.
That's crazy.
10th all time at the combine.
Wow.
And for a guy that is he was 5'9".
Wow.
Didn't even get to 5'9". I can't remember. But still, he's like – not a prototypical cornerback, but still has.
Huh.
If you just watch the tape, I think that speaks for itself.
Yeah, I mean, cornerback has always been a position that, like, if you can play cornerback, you can play cornerback. Like, now, obviously, you can't come out 5'2" and try to play. Like, all right, like there's obviously some kind of law line we have to draw here. All right, but like if you're 5'8" and above, but you can play cornerback and you can jump and you got the footwork and you got the grit to play cornerback, you can play cornerback. So to add that into obviously already being a talented cornerback, I think he has elevated his draft stock. In fact, I'm sure he is a winner. He's even listed as a winner from the combine on many, many recaps of the combine on all across sports platforms. So IU, man, getting some more shine at the combine.
Yeah, like you said, I think his play is mostly like attitude driven, because he's just out there and is just a ferocious player. And you kind of have to have that chip on your shoulder a little bit, being an undersized guy, and you just have to play with that mentality. And he does. And yeah, like you said, I'm not always tuned in. I just see highlights on social media of the combine.
Yeah, definitely. I used to watch it. Like
I did too.
Beginning to end. But it, like now it's like, I don't know. I don't know if it's like lost as, I don't want to say lost as luster. Like, I just think maybe I'm just older and like just have other things to do with my time. Like, I'm not like, I'm covering college football. So, I mean, there's some stuff I, you know, write about still, obviously. But like, in terms of watching it from beginning to end,
no.
I'm like, look, I can just look online and see the results.
Right.
At this point, you know, they're drills. Now, if I will say, because there's high school combines, right, mm-hmm. where college athlete or high school athletes are performing for college scouts. I attend those, obviously, for Indiana Preps. That's different because we're evaluating high school players trying to go to college. So for me, that's in my lane. But I'm not an NFL. I'm nowhere associated with the NFL anymore other than just talking about it on here, you know, talking Colts, Bears, or general NFL stuff. But the combine just isn't, I don't know. I think it's just a personal thing. It's just not on my radar unless it's like you put IU player or a Notre Dame player or a player to the level of Jordan Love or Jeremiah Love.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, even like my interest, even in the NFL draft, has kind of gone down just to watch
a little bit. Yeah.
Just watching it as like all, like it's an all day, the process takes forever. You have to, you know, go through all the interviews that, you know, kind of sound the same. You have similar questions and it's just like, I don't really want to sit
similar
here.
Similar questions. That was kind. I mean, they're literally the same questions.
A lot of the times I'm just trying to be respectful to those people who have those jobs because they can be, you know, a difficult job and though it's just I don't need to watch 5 hours of the first round. The first round takes forever. And then there's like 3 hours leading up to the draft. And then the draft starts. And then the first team that's on the clock is on the clock for 15 minutes, even though they've known for months who they're going to take.
And they take the whole 15 minutes.
They take the whole 15 minutes. It's like, let's get on with it, man. I got to go to bed. Just take Fernando Mendoza and let's move on.
Oh man, yeah. So I think we're getting older, bro.
That's yeah.
I think that's it. We're becoming slowly becoming the get off my lawn.
Yeah, are we? And maybe we'll rebrand the show to we'll rebrand the show to that one day. Like
get off my lawn sports show.
Yeah,
is that a thing? But does anybody have that? Can we trademark that?
I don't know. Let's bookmark it at least.
Let's do it. We're reaching UNC vibes. I think that's what it's starting to sound like.
But I do think that I will say I'm a little bit more intrigued with the draft, but not intrigued enough to watch it. I just want to know where, you know, guys go. I want to know where D'Angelo Pons goes. Does somebody think he's actually a second round guy? Because I think he's going to outperform, I think, wherever he is drafted. Does Jeremiah Love go in the top five? Does he fall, which I don't think he will? Does Jadarian Price, you know, Notre Dame backup running back, does he find his way into the first round? Because if you look at all the mock drafts, he can, you know, either slowly creep up. He's kind of bordering on that first and second round. You know, that's where I'm kind of intrigued. Does somebody else like Fernando, somebody else besides Fernando Mendoza? You know, we're seeing a lot more love for Ty Simpson here recently. I think it was Dan Orlovsky who said he likes Ty Simpson more than Fernando Mendoza. And I was like, what? Did you see any of these? Did you see them play against each other? Did you see the playoff game? Did you see the Rose Bowl, Dan? Did you watch the Rose Bowl? Because my goodness.
Did you see your own career, Dan? All right, that was too far. My bad.
That was me. That was a little too far. But
apologies.
But even the one thing that I did find funny about the NFL Combine was when Carson Beck was throwing, people that were in attendance were obviously Indiana fans, and they were booing him while he was going through drills. I thought that was kind of funny. just to show up. And Fernando wasn't even there to, like, throw or do anything. I think he was just doing the measurements and, like, interviews. So, but people showed up to cheer for Mendoza when he did make his one appearance on the field and then booed Carson Beck when he went through drill. That's the, Hoosier fans are out in full force for the combine this weekend. goodness. But all right. Anything else on your mind before we get to wrapping up?
Just next week, we're taking a nice peek ahead to getting ready for spring season. Next week, we'll be talking a little Fort Wayne FC, which is a professional soccer club here where we're located here in Fort Wayne. We'll be joined by a guest representing the Fort Wayne FC. So we'll be talking about that. And we might have a big guest
lined up
next week as well. So kind of confirmed. That's a thing.
Kind of confirmed.
Potential? So next week's show is going to be big, but we're going to be taking a little peek into spring season. And I got a busy week ahead. I don't know about you, Bryce, but I have two kids that have made the varsity soccer team for middle school.
Heck yeah.
And one already plays travel baseball on top of that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my spring season is pretty loaded on top of my 260 Dugout podcast where I interview baseball and softball people every week. So, yeah, my next – and I got a big event on March 24th that I'm not going to talk about on here because I don't want random people showing up and stealing all the food that I have for the guests. So, won't talk about it on here, but a big event on March 24th as well. So, March is going to be a very busy month for me. I'm excited, though.
I'm invited, right? So, I can come steal all the food?
Of course, brother.
Yeah.
You don't even need
I was going to say, I think we can get some interviews out of that for the show.
Let's go.
It doesn't have to be just for the show, but just to have on the socials and stuff like that. So
you got to come.
Let's start planning. We got a couple of weeks before that. I'm excited. I know what the event is. I'm not going to spoil it, but I think it's a really good event, and I think it's something that has been needed in the Northeast Indiana for some time, and something that I wish we had back in the day when I was covering sports locally. So I think I think you're doing a good job on the high school baseball scene, and I think it's going to be a good event. So I'm excited, as DC mentioned, about next week's show. As you mentioned, Fort Wayne FC. I drive by the stadium every single day on my way into my day job. So it's getting there. I want to ask whoever joins us from Fort Wayne FC, are they going to play in that stadium on May 2nd? Because it's like, for me, teetering on like, yeah, they'll play, but will it be finished? So, like, that's kind of like the thing that I'm thinking, because when it is finished, it will be a very nice venue to take in a soccer game or in a concert, because that's what they're hoping for. It's not just going to be just a soccer stadium. It's going to be a venue for events and other stuff, and maybe, college and high school teams will play there. Like the Tin Caps allow high school and college teams to play on their field. Which that was mentioned this week. The Parkview Sports Medicine Classic was mentioned, where you have high school teams from around the 260 getting a chance to play on the Tin Caps field, and as well as a couple of college teams, including St. Francis and Indiana Tech. Did you ever get to play at Parkview when you were in high school? Was that a thing?
I did. We played against the Northrop Bruins.
Yeah, how'd that game go?
Not good. I was just kidding. It wasn't a blowout or nothing, but they won. Okay. I hit a foul ball home run.
Oh.
Left field, hit a foul ball home run.
That counts.
And then struck out right after that, immediately the next pitch. I'm dead serious, too.
Yeah. Like,
almost home run on the left foul pole, and then curveball, strike three.
Yeah, I was going to say, they catch you leaning.
They called me leaning. That curveball, man, I struggled. They hit me with that curve. I don't even remember who the pitcher was, but Northrop had some good pitchers back then, and they could throw some good curveballs. And he was like, yep, not throwing you another fastball. Hit me with a curveball and strike three.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to play at Parkview as well. I got the pitch on the mound.
Nice.
By far, as expected, the best mound I've ever pitched on.
Oh, for sure.
Just the way it felt. When your cleats would sink into that, that clay. Oh, just, it was great.
Fully transparent. I did not play in the field.
Okay. Just a DH.
I was DH. So I probably played a total of like four innings in the field, my junior and senior season combined.
Wow.
I was DH only.
Yeah. I didn't play a ton in the field either. I was mostly a pitcher, and then I would DH when I wasn't pitching. But then my senior year, I started to play more first base just because I was slow. Couldn't trust me in the outfield. I could throw somebody out, but it'd take me just a I'd be a half step slow getting to the ball. And I wasn't the best reading the ball off the bat in the outfield either. So
it was tough. It's not for the weak.
So I liked playing first, though. It was
memories, brother. But yeah, it's almost baseball season, so there'll be, if you're a baseball fan, a lot of that coming up because World Baseball Classic starts on Thursday, and I am pumped.
Yeah, I saw Paul Skeens is at least going to pitch in two or go full, you know, as many games as he can or as many innings as he can in at least two starts. So him and Logan Webb, I believe, have committed to that. So I'm excited. I hope the USA does well in that. Obviously, we'll be cheering them on. I have my USA hat in the mail. Should be here by next week's show. So I'm excited for it, and it should be a good time. We'll definitely talk about it here on the show. So that's CT Hendricks. I'm Bryce Vance. Make sure you guys follow us everywhere on social media. If you guys want to stay tuned and find some clips of the show, you can follow us on Instagram, X, or if you want to get a full replay of the show, you can also follow us on Facebook. Is there. The show is streaming there currently and will be uploaded there to watch the full show. So make sure you guys are subscribed, following us everywhere. And we do the show every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. here on YouTube and Facebook and on DC's X profile. So make sure you guys are tuning in and suggest any comments or people we should have on the show. Who's somebody out there that needs to be highlighted? It's not just the 260, but in Fort Wayne, around Fort Wayne and in the state. You guys throw your comments or
in the Midwest area. Message.
Yeah, in the Midwest area for sure. And I don't know if we ever have promoted it, but we have an email if you guys want to email us as well at brysondc@gmail.com. If you want to send us an email or with your thoughts on the show, we can connect that way as well. If you have any thoughts or suggestions, make sure you get to getindiana.com as well. You can find our show on there as well. It's been a great partnership, and was just talking to Nate Spangle this past week about some social stuff. So excited for that partnership to continue, and make sure you get to getindiana.com for anything Hoosier related, whether it's a small town breakdown or on Nate Spangle's 1000 town adventure for this year in 2026. So until next week, that's DC Hendricks. I'm Bryce Vance. This has been another edition of the Sideline Sports Show. We'll catch you next week.